Radio Air's investigating whether we're a society relying on alcohol. I've spoken to people of all ages and from all walks of life and uncovered the darker side of drinking in Leeds.
The counsellor sat in front of me and said, "Your doctor says if you carry on drinking like this, you will die." And I said, "Bring it on, I don't care."
So I could go to school and I'd sort of take myself off to bed, watch box sets and drink.
It was getting up in the morning, drinking, and then having it on my driver's seat. I would drink while driving.
I set off on the morning with a bottle of champagne in bed, followed by three bottles of wine while I was out, followed by a bottle of vodka on the way home.
I found out local services are seeing a big rise in younger people with alcohol-related illnesses where that used to be rare. And one medic's told me it's a super tanker heading towards disaster.
This is my little boy, Zach, who's 9. This is my middle one, Alice. And this is my eldest, Eleanor. And she's
very similar.
Yeah, there's only 15 months between them, actually.
I went to meet Catherine Blackburn, a mum of 3 from Leeds, who, until early this year, was drinking 4 bottles of wine a day.
How many Facebook statuses did I write under the influence? Arguments with my daughters. Things that would get said. There are things that I've done. I've taken tablets. I'd run out into the garden and thrown myself on the grass with just my nightie on. Those are things that I can remember. And then I would wake up the next day and think, oh my goodness me, what have I done?
And then I suppose you had to go through that routine of getting Zach up and yes. Going to school.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I don't really know how, but yeah, I would get up and get Zach's breakfast and get him ready for school. It sounds terrible.
Her little boy's 9. She admitted to me that when her alcohol addiction was at its worst, she did the school run while over the limit.
Can't pretend that it wouldn't have had an impact on him. More in a sense of, you know, worrying unnecessarily. He describes it quite well, actually. He said, because, you know, the thing is, Mummy, you'd have one drink or two drinks and you'd be all happy and jolly, and then you'd have more and then things would go wrong. And that's, in his little mind, how things were.
Catherine's one of many hidden drinkers, a mum who still managed to get her kids to school and have dinner on the table, but eventually was needing wine to get through the day. And she's worried there are lots more like her across Leeds.
I just called to remind you to see me at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Joy Archer used to be a teacher, but now works as a counsellor here at Forward Leeds, the city's alcohol and drug service. She understands the problems people come to her with. Despite having a family and a good job, she turned to wine when she became unhappy at work. Things spiralled until she was warned if she didn't stop drinking, she could die.
Sitting down for the evening, it sort of like swept over me, oh God, I've got to go back there tomorrow. I'd have a glass of wine and another one and another one. And it sort of got to the stage where I thought it was worth feeling better for 2 or 3 hours. Really, it wasn't. And the guilt and the shame. It's just awful.
Joy told me she's seeing a steady rise in younger people with families and jobs needing help. Dean was employed as an engineer when his drinking habits turned into addiction.
I think at my worst I was drinking at least a litre of vodka a day and 3 or 4 litres of cider. And, you know, basically if I had money, it all went on alcohol.
He used to fill an empty Vimto bottle with vodka, which he drank on his way to and from work.
I would drink drive every day. Every day I would drink drive. I just got caught that day. You know, and I'm glad I did, because, you know, if it had carried on, I could have killed somebody. You know, and I would really live with that.
How long were you doing that before you got caught?
The amount I drank, I was just topping up every day. So I was probably over the limit just about every day. So, years.
Dean's not alone. It's estimated 210,000 working days are lost each year in Leeds due to hangovers, and it's costing our economy millions of pounds. That's because of workers calling in sick or doing less work than usual, with a quarter admitting their drinking meant they go home as soon as possible.
Dr. Ian Cameron, Director of Public Health, Leeds City Council. We did some work that suggested that the cost to the city was around £438 million. £1,000 a year. A sizable amount was the NHS. So yes, alcohol is causing considerable strain.
The A&E department here at St James's is a bit quieter than the one at the LGI, but still gets up to 25 new patients an hour, and a lot of those are alcohol-related. Dr Graham Johnson's a consultant in emergency medicine.
We've certainly in recent years seen a cohort of relatively young females with severe liver damage. It is deeply worrying. I think, you know, once we get to the stage of treating somebody for alcoholic liver damage, some of that damage is permanent.
Figures I've got hold of show in the last 5 years, 27,000 people admitted to the city's hospitals were diagnosed with an alcohol-related illness. That's nearly 6,000 more than in the 5 years before. Despite that, alcohol nurse Catherine Rothwell says people aren't taking it seriously.
Sometimes they don't believe you because they don't consider themselves to have a problem with alcohol, and they don't see themselves in those terms because they function quite well. Maybe they go to work every day and they consider somebody with an alcohol problem to be the sort of person who drinks white cider.
Patricia took it right to the very end before realising she had to stop drinking.
I set off on the morning with a bottle of champagne in bed, a couple of drinks of vodka before I went out, followed by 3 bottles of wine while I was out, followed by a bottle of vodka on the way home.
It's not hard to see why Patricia eventually needed a new liver. Her heart stopped beating on the operating table.
At the time, you know that somebody has got to die for you to live. And that is a very hard thing, to be laid in a bed knowing that you need a liver to live, but somebody's got to die to give you that life. Especially with me, that had had alcohol abuse as a reason for my liver failing, it's even harder to see why I should be given that chance of life. But I had put my life right. I was a mother. And I'm there for my kids now.
So how did a mum of two with a job get to that point when it started off as just drinks with other mums? Patricia says she's living proof of how the problem can spiral out of control before you know it. Then came her rock bottom. She lost her children because of her drinking.
My mum decided to take it in to her hands and do a grandparents' custody order on my children. They hated the drink. They saw what drink does to a family. And all they could say is, why can't you stop? And, you know, if it had been so easy at that time, but I couldn't stop. And you can't explain that to anybody. People just say to you, well, just stop. Looking back now, I think, how the hell could I not have stopped drinking for my kids? It's something you can't answer, and I'll never be able to answer.
All the people I've spoken to so far had jobs and families when their problems took hold. But I've come to a university to meet a girl who's been battling alcohol addiction since trying it at the age of 13. She doesn't want to be identified, but agreed to meet me in between lectures in the hope that sharing her story might encourage others to seek help.
I was waking up in A&E, not knowing how I'd got there. You know, my mum would be, she'd get called into hospital and see me wired up to all sorts of machines. And I remember a few times I'd woken up there and I was actually relieved because I thought, well, at least I'm safe. You know, someone's looked after me and got me here and I'm safe.
She's now 21 and studying for a degree after getting help from a support group. But she believes there's a big pressure in society to drink, and it starts with young people.
It just feels like, you know, if there's a birthday, it's going out drinking. If there's a work to do, it's drinking. When I first came to university, I got a letter through the post about the induction week and stuff like that, and it was referring to going out and getting hammered. And it's like, why are they sending out leaflets to freshers telling them to go and get wasted?
These are all people who started off drinking socially and ended up having whole years of their lives destroyed. Some of them lost their families and jobs, broke the law, or caused irreversible damage to their bodies. But we're talking about something that's totally legal, easy to buy, and it's probably sitting in your kitchen right now. Dr. Johnson reckons there's only one answer.
It does take something kind of fairly radical to turn around what is a bit of a supertanker heading towards disaster. Really, the research on a big scale, on a national scale, says there's only really one thing that you can do, and that's make alcohol more expensive.
Well, it's a long-running debate, with David Cameron briefly floating plans for a minimum price of 40p a unit before dropping the idea. It would be a big step, but even bigger than that is the idea of changing how we as a society think about alcohol. Dr. Ian Cameron's in charge of public health in Leeds. He helped put together the city's new strategy for tackling this problem.
We've got to reduce demand on services. The way that we need to do that is for Leeds to embrace a culture where sensible drinking is the rule, and therefore we can reduce the demand on services in the future.
I've come back to see Catherine, the mum of three, who had been drinking up to 4 bottles of wine a day. Catherine, what are we doing today?
I'm doing one of my 3 runs a week, which is part of my training for the London Marathon. And it's consequently become quite a huge part of my recovery, really.
Do you think that's the key to beating this, to have something else in your life that you care about, I suppose, in your case, running?
Yes, I do. I spend a lot of time drinking and a lot of time thinking about drinking. You do get people that have known that you were a bit of a drinker or a party animal, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, what are you doing, you know, on the water? And I didn't particularly so much have the confidence to talk about the problem. It definitely was my thing that I was concentrating on keeping healthy through running. For me, I felt a lot more comfortable with that as my story.
I suppose that shows that there is still a bit of a taboo around it, I suppose, and that's pressure in society to drink.
It really is. There's a lot of shame, and a lot of the stigma's got to drop for you to be okay to stop drinking. That's what's got to be okay.
It was clear that Catherine had got her life firmly back on the right track, but for many others in homes across Leeds, that slippery slope could only just be getting started. Joy Archer from Forward Leeds says the problem is a ticking time bomb.
I think drinking has increased because it's been driven underground to the home. It's too easy and it's too cheap. It's become respectable in the sense that we now have acres and acres of really nice wine aisles. And people now are under increasing stress at work. There's much more of a target-driven culture. You don't actually realise, because it's somehow got the stamp of society's approval. Everybody does it.
Do you think it's worrying what it's doing to our society as a whole?
I think there's a big concern. I suspect we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. I'm sure that there are lots and lots of people who ostensibly have it all, and I'm sure there is a problem there, just waiting to explode.